do a little review here from last week, Mark 6:3. But when you give to the needy, it doesn't say if you give to the needy, it says when. And then your Father will reward you. And I believe that Jesus Christ revealed the truth. And if you want to be blessed, you need to be generous. Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, well, I don't have time to pray. You most certainly do. You have time to do anything you want to do. And so do I. That used to be my excuse. But I don't have time. But God showed me that because I wasn't praying, the devil was stealing a lot of time. And when I started praying and fasting and meditating on the Word, my time was multiplied. Matthew 6:6, but when you pray, your Father will reward you. There's no stuttering there. That's what he says. That's what it means. Matthew 6:17, but when you fast, verse 18, your Father will reward you. Same blessing, he says, if you will obey the Father God in giving and praying and meditating on the Word, that's part of praying, and fasting, that you'll receive blessings and benefit in this life. In the name of Jesus, blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord enough to obey him. Jesus said, when you give, when you pray, and when you fast, your Father will reward you. Well, I've heard you say that before, Pastor. Well, I'm going to keep saying it till everybody starts doing it. It's not just enough to hear it. And besides that, preaching these scriptures, we who are fasting food, we need this. It motivates us to hear these promises and to hear that God really is using fasting. When means when, not if. Now, which one of these three are you leaving out? Maybe leaving all three of them out, okay? When you give and when you pray and when you fast. If you want greater power and authority in your life, listen to this message. If you don't, just ignore it. I've been in Knoxville preaching for 43 years, and people have really developed a gift of ignoring me. But don't ignore this. James chapter 1, verse 22, but be ye doers of the word. Didn't say if you feel like it. Do what it says. But be a doer of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If you hear it, it's a good message, and don't do it, it says you have deceived yourself. I didn't say that. Don't get insulted at me. If we think we can be successful in life without doing the word, we are deceiving ourselves. Period. Everything is not fixed. Doing the word changes things. Well, praying and fasting and meditating on God's word and going to church doesn't change anything. Wrong. Changes everything. Satan's a liar. And that stuff's coming from Satan. Luke 11:28. But he said, blessed, happy, and to be envied, rather, are those who hear the word of God and obey and practice it. Who said that? The boss, Jesus Christ. But he said, blessed, happy, and to be envied, rather, are those who hear the word of God and obey and practice it. God wants us doing what the word says. I used to think doing the word was, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And I found out that that's the don'ts. The do's is when you give and when you pray and when you fast and when you go to church and when you speak to your mountain. Well, I got two amens. I guess I better move on. You see, I've been greatly blessed by doing the word. We can choose a blessing by doing the word. Let me back up and say, I lived in a lot of difficulty before I learned to fast and pray. I didn't really start fasting and praying until I started pastoring church in Lexington. And I got desperate and began to fast and pray in my early 30s. And I want you to know it changed everything for me. But if you're tired of living in doubt and unbelief and depression and oppression and failure and defeat, well, then it's time to obey the word of God and begin to do it and practice it. Set you a time to pray. Start with that. And then take the word of God in there with you and meditate on it. And then throw in some fasting. It's not about fasting, it's about praying and meditating on the Word to find the will of God and find the power of God to enable you to carry out the Word of God through prayer with fasting. Say with. Luke 4:2, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil, he ate nothing. Now, Jesus didn't do a Daniel's fast. Says he ate nothing. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. Jesus went into the wilderness not to fast. It says plainly he was driven into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted of the devil, but Jesus chose to face the devil with prayer and fasting. That's the way you win. We need to face the attack of the devil with prayer and fasting. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. See, facing the devil with prayer and fasting may seem like a great temptation, but the angels and the blessings of God will show up. There's an angel showed up after one of these 21 days of fasting when I had rosacea, and Dottie woke up, and she saw this angel standing over me with her hand right over my face. And that was 2011, and to this day, I have not had another episode of rosacea. Why? God sent an angel. You say, what do you think that angel did? I don't know, and I don't care. I just know I ain't got rosacea. Amen. If you think I'm ugly now, you should see my face swelled out like that. But the angels and the blessings of God will come. The reward will come. Well, what kind of reward are you looking for? Answers to my prayer. Amen. If Jesus needed to fast, so do you. He is our example. Do what Jesus does and say what Jesus says. Quote him. Acts 13, verse 2. This is the church at Antioch. While they were worshiping the Lord with fasting, the Holy Spirit said, when they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Lord said. And most of the main revelations I've received from God's Word, like healing, for example, came from my time of praying and fasting and meditating on His Word. Isn't that interesting? While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. The little message I gave you about healing when we were sharing communion came, as you know, from a time of years ago, way back at Lexington. I was fasting and praying, meditating on God's Word, and He gave me Matthew 8, 16, and 17. When I was praying, the Lord spoke to me, and many of you have been healed because the Lord gave me that revelation, because it helps your faith. Amen. To know it's really God. It certainly changed my faith in every way. You see, this is like a sacred assembly, what we're doing here right now, that God ordained in Joel. And that's basically what the New Testament church is doing here at Antioch. They are doing a sacred assembly. Everybody gathered together to seek God with prayer and fasting. What we're doing here is a sacred assembly, calling everybody together for a time of praying and fasting for health and well-being, for a deliverance, for a restoration. And not only for us and our family members, but for our entire nation. We're on the very, very verge of losing the United States of America to Marxism, and we need to wake up and begin to seek God. Amen. Verse 3, so after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Now notice, they did it twice. The day they received the word, they didn't march them out the door and send them on a mission trip. They had to have time to prepare. But before they sent them out, it says, so after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. So the Lord spoke to them through praying and fasting. And then they fasted and prayed over them before they sent them off. Today, the modern church elects pastors, board members, and everything else. And they don't even pray hardly, let alone fast. No wonder we have church splits all over the place. We elect our board members right after 21 days of praying and fasting. If you're not hearing from God, that's not my fault. Hear from God. Amen. Ask Him to give you a spirit of discernment and revelation that you'll know the will of God concerning the people you vote for. They fasted and prayed again before they sent them off. Paul and Barnabas had great success because they heard from God through prayer and fasting. We hear and receive from God through prayer and fasting. When Lord spoke to me and Dottie to come here and start this church, I didn't just load the U-Haul. I spent 3 months, not all of it fasting, of course, but fasting and praying until God gave me a specific word that I knew God had called us to Knoxville, and that word is still echoing in my spirit, in my mind, in my heart right now. In a service like this, Chuck Lester and another lady, they and his others, but they were standing right there, and God totally healed Chuck of anxiety and results of strokes. And I mean total. Right, Chuck? And this was several years ago. And then the lady standing close to him was healed of Crohn's. Well, I don't think this praying and fasting stuff works. You just came to the wrong place to tell the wrong people. We already know it works. Acts 14:23, and when they had appointed and ordained elders for them in each church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had come to believe. What's that about? When Paul and Barnabas went around through Asia and the different provinces, they're preaching the gospel in different cities. People got saved, born again. And then when they came back, they appointed leaders for those churches through prayer and fasting. The Greek says prayer with fasting. That's the right way to say it, prayer with fasting. It is about prayer with fasting. They ordain elders in prayer and fasting. That's why when a tragedy hits or a crisis hits or something appears like one, I don't call a big fast. Why? Because we've already done our fasting. I've already done my fasting, and all I now got to do is pray. Prayer with fasting. The fasting, to me, is a lifestyle. I fast every Monday. And each month, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, once. That's 3 days in a row. And then the beginning of the year, long fast. And so when you say, Pastor, pray for me, I don't have to call a big fast. I've already done my fasting. Amen. Prayer with fasting. Fasting became their lifestyle in everything they did. So keep on fasting and keep the miracles coming. Next, Paul lists the things he experienced. And I want you to look at this. 2 Corinthians 11:27. And what I'm trying to do is build your faith that prayer and fasting works. If you're not doing a food fast at some point and you're healthy, then I need to convince you. From the Word of God, it works. You're missing something. 2 Corinthians 11:27. He's talking about all the things he had experienced for Jesus Christ. And weariness and painfulness and watchings. Watching is interceding in prayer late at night, praying and seeking God. Often in hunger and thirst. And fastings often in cold and nakedness. Is that Oral Roberts University? I heard people talking about that. And they said, well, Paul did fasting just because he couldn't get anything to eat. I said, whoa, wait a minute. You're totally missing that. See, people assume Paul was fasting because he could not get food. He was traveling and he couldn't find a McDonald's or a Hardee's or a Panera Bread. And he couldn't get food. And sometimes that's the case. Now look at this. But the first Greek word here for hunger and thirst is limos. That word for hunger means due to lack of food. He did not have anything to eat at times because he could not find anything to eat. But the second Greek word here, it pays to have a preacher that studies the Word of God. Not bragging and complaining, that's just what I'm supposed to do. The second Greek word here, fasting often, is nestia, which means fasting for spiritual reasons. And he says often. Yes, I've been hungry because I couldn't get any food. I couldn't find a biscuit or eggs and bacon, so I could not eat. But other times, often, I'm fasting and going without food for spiritual reasons. Don't pat me on the back later. All of the references about fasting I have given use the Greek word nestia in the New Testament, of course. Nestia, to fast for spiritual reasons. In Scripture, nestia always means going without food for spiritual reasons. Paul says, I have fasted because I had no food, and I have fasted often for spiritual reasons. Paul had a lifestyle of praying and fasting. This 21 days of praying and fasting has become the lifestyle of this church. And, buddy, when we do it, miracles happen. G.R. Gould, a minister of the gospel, at that time he was district superintendent of the Assemblies of God in the state of Tennessee. I knew him well, and I called him. I knew he was very, very sick. The doctor said he had parasites. He went on a mission trip and got parasites, and he said, these parasites are killing you. When he walked through that door, this has been, I think that was around, 2012, 2011, somewhere in there, and so it's many years ago. When he came through that door, I didn't know it, but his wife said his organs were shutting down. He was dying as he came through the door. And I had called him. I said, you need to get over here. Talk to his wife. I said, I don't care how bad he is. You need to get him over here and let this church pray over him during his fast. Amen. And she told me later, don't tell me everything up front. Amen. Sometimes it's better if I don't know. And I don't know if I'd had as great a faith if I'd known it was that bad. When it came time to pray, I called him up, and he just shuffled up, could barely walk. Well, he was just moving his feet. Right. Sure did. You saw that, Chuck?
Yes, sir.
And a lot of others did, too. And we laid hands on him, and all of a sudden, the power of God hit him, and he started jumping up and down. He marched all around here in a circle. Can you say amen?
Amen?
And God began a great miracle. It wasn't 100%. And a lot of people give up. Well, I thought God healed me. Listen, the devil's going to fight you over a healing. He's going to fight you over any miracle.
Amen.
And so, but the miracle began that night. He was walking, and I met him and his wife out at Pigeon Forge. We put them in a hotel out there so they'd be close. And I went out there, and he and I walked up and down the sidewalk together just the day after he came through the door dying.
Amen.
And then God totally healed him, restored him, and we had him come back and do a three-night revival right here in his church later.
Amen.
Well, I just don't believe it. Well, Jesus said, according to your faith, so you can forget it. If you're not going to believe the word of God and believe the testimony of God's people, what hope do you have? You have to believe.
Amen.
It's amazing to me people can believe all kind of junk on television, but they can't believe the word of God. We know that the early church Christians had a lifestyle of prayer, fasting, and doing the word. The Didache are the teachings of the 12 apostles. You can Google it, look it up, get it, read it for yourself. It claims to be the teachings of Jesus, often are given by the 12 apostles to those desiring to become Christians. It was used, among other things, to instruct people how to pray and fast and live a godly life. Its internal evidence seems to date it between 60 A.D. in 90 A.D., which means it well could have been written by the disciples from what Jesus taught them. Therefore, most scholars date it before 100 A.D. It could have been the teachings of the disciples, just like it claims. The Didache says, your fast should not coincide with those of the hypocrites, meaning Jews. They fast on Mondays and Tuesdays. You should fast on Wednesdays and Fridays. And if you multiply 2 times 52, how much is that? So 21 days is only half of that. The Didache, but we'll do it all at one time. That doesn't make a difference. The Didache also requires that the one who baptizes and the one being baptized must fast. And you don't have to take my word for it. Most of you are not going to anyway. So look it up and read it. And any others who can. So when you baptize people, it says those being baptized should fast, and others should fast with them. I have a feeling that we wouldn't have many baptisms if we asked people to fast today. And any others who can, those being baptized were expected to fast 1 or 2 days beforehand. You see, this is not a Daniel's fast. This is fasting food. Eusebius, born in 260 A.D., the first church historian, indicates that the Didache may have been considered to be part of the canon of Scripture. In other words, it could have been in your Bible and you'd have to fast. But for some reason, the Lord chose to leave fasting as a voluntary thing. But you can see from the Word of God, fasting is clearly taught through the whole Bible. And so, the Didache may have been considered to be part of Scripture. And Clement of Alexander, born in 153 A.D., quotes part of it as Scripture. The Didache was a very important document in the early church. They practiced fasting 2 days a week. And you can discover it from other writings. John Wesley discovered he calls them the primitive fathers did, the apostolic fathers. So John Wesley discovered they fasted 2 days a week, and he required, and I went back, looked it up in his own writings. I worked on this as a doctor at Oral Roberts University, and they wouldn't just take my opinion. I had to prove it. And John Wesley required his preachers to fast 2 days a week. That's why they about conquered the whole world. But today, the Methodist Church is going through a big split over homosexuality because they're won't ordain homosexuals to ministry. And I'm not against homosexuals, but the Bible says it's sin, and we shouldn't be ordaining people who are practicing sin to ministry. But what happened to the Methodist Church? Evidently, quit praying and fasting. I'm putting them down. There's a lot of good Methodists, good Methodist churches, but it's a real battle. And within the Methodist church, there's a war going on right now. The people who really believe the Bible are standing up to the others. I don't care what you believe. We've got it as Christians. We have to go by the Bible, or we don't have anything to go by. Come on. Well, you're a bigot because you believe the Bible. Well, then that makes God a bigot, so you better be careful. One day, God's going to get tired of all this foolishness, and he's going to deal with some people. God's still God. He's not afraid of secular humanists. He's not afraid of Marxists. He's not afraid of crazy, wild-eyed, false prophets. He says, vengeance is mine. I might repay someday. No. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. We better be careful what we believe, what we teach. I don't condemn anybody. Some of my best friends are homosexuals. I love them to pieces. But I'm not going to say what they're doing is godly when the Bible says it's not. Amen. And I'm not perfect either. So, I'm not going to point my finger at anybody. But I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says if you practice homosexuality and a whole bunch of other sins, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. I have to warn you because God's holding me responsible if I don't. But I'm going to drop it right there. I'm not going to follow you around and condemn you. That's not part of my job. I love everybody. If it had been included in our Bible, then we'd be required to fast. Polycarp was one of the disciples of St. John. And he was born in 65 A.D. when a lot of the apostles were still alive. He writes, "Wherefore, forsaking the vanity of many and their false doctrines," I just talking about false doctrines, "let us return to the Word." That's what the church has got to do in America, or we're going to lose everything. Amen. "Let us return to the Word which has been handed down to us from the beginning, watching unto prayer and persevering in fasting." Born in 65 A.D., and that's what this preacher taught. "Beseeching in our supplications the all-seeing God." See, seeking God in prayer with fasting is what he's saying. These early church preachers believed in the Word and persevered in fasting. This book is Polycarp to the Philippians. You can look it up and read it for yourself. The book I was using is page 73. You see, he was a disciple of St. John. He was not doing a Daniel's fast. Okay. So I'm not putting down people to do a Daniel. You do what God tells you to do, but if you're healthy and you always just default to Daniel's fast, you may want to pray and ask God what he wants you to do. Good preaching. Ignatius, born in 35 A.D., says, devote thyself to fasting and prayer, but not beyond measure, lest thou destroy thyself thereby. You see, this means don't overdo it and use some juice, is what I think it means. Don't overdo it. Remember, the early church Christians fasted 2 days a week and more. Ignatius is also a disciple of St. John. And this quote is from the Epistle of Ignatius to Hero. And the book I had was page 218. Tertullian, a lot of people have heard of him. A.D. 160, that was when he was born, A.D. 160. Certainly believed in fasting. He says, they who are about to enter baptism ought to pray with repeated prayers, fastings, and bending of knee, and vigils all the night through, and with the confession of all bygone sins. Sounds to me like he had been reading the Didache, because he about quotes it. They who are about to enter baptism ought to pray with repeated prayers, fast, and bending of the knee, humbling ourselves before the Lord. You see, he says, pray, fast, repent. This sounds alike like the Didache. Anthony was born in A.D. 251, and the church is still roaring with his fasting, roaring and going, still praying and fasting and seeking God. He devoted himself to fasting, praying, and meditation, and meditating on Scripture in solitude in the desert. And I studied him and looked up the writings about him. And he lived to be 105 years old back there in that day, but partly, I think, because he fasted. And even when he ate, the main thing he ate was watercress with salt on it. His life was almost totally fasting. People went to him for healing, and hundreds reported miracles. Prayer and fasting made power available. Anthony is called the first monk because he spent his time in solitude with prayer and fasting, and he trained many other people in the same way. When we fast food, we need to know what we're doing and why. These people fasted and prayed because it made a big difference in their lives. You think I fast and pray like this because I'm trying to impress somebody? I do it because it's changed my world and continues to change my world. I feel better and start sensing the presence of God in a greater way. And believe me, as your pastor, you want me to be praying and fasting because it makes a difference in your life. Fasting is a great antioxidant. And this only happens if you fast food. Antioxidant. Listen to this. Dr. Don Colbert, and I've heard him a lot interviewed by John Hagee. And this is a great doctor. I think he lives in Texas. He says, fasting is a powerful, natural way to cleanse your body from the burden of excess toxic nutrients. I believe that the best fasting method for cleansing and detoxification is juice fasting. You do what God tells you to do, but if you really want to clean up your body, you need some prune juice and juice. You say, amen. Dr. Colbert also says, fasting is the dynamite that makes all of the other efforts easier and more effective. See, fasting helps bring victory spiritually and physically. And you're not going to hear most preachers preaching this because they don't know it. And I earned a doctorate studying this. The subtitle of Dr. Colbert's book is Toxic Relief. And it is Restore Health and Energy Through Fasting and Detoxification. Look how healthy and energetic I am right now and have eaten, and this is day 12. And then when you come off the fast, that's when you really start getting the blessings. Sometimes it seems as God has just gone away during the praying and fasting, but when the fasting is done, he shows up. Yeah, I say it seems that way. Divine power flows more easily, is what this guy says. Divine power flows more easily because you get the flesh out of the way. When you shut your digestive system down, your body goes into a relaxing mode and you're more receptive to the Holy Spirit. And that's only a food fast. You do what God tells you to do, but I got to encourage you to go all the way. Divine power flows more easily and quickly. And according to Isaiah 58:8, when you fast and you're generous, your healing will quickly appear. Amen. But often I'm bored. Food for us is a pleasure. We have all these cooks with all these seasonings and all this fancy stuff. Fasting, you don't get to do that stuff. Amen. Time or two, I've just put a little salt on my finger, put it on my tongue. Salt tastes so good. Don't you laugh at me. Fasting is not about earning anything from God. Well, I'm not going to try to earn anything. But Jesus said, when you give and when you pray and when you fast, it's called obeying. Fasting is not about earning anything from God. It's not about manipulating God to get what we want. It's about obedience. Prayer with fasting is about putting ourselves in a position to receive from God by hearing and obeying. It is about discovering the will of God and receiving the power and the ability to carry it out. We receive from God by being a doer of the word. Jesus said, when you give and when you pray and when you fast, I believe the main reason the modern church is dying is because we have lost prayer and fasting. Our church has powerfully anointed miracle services every Sunday and every weeknight during our 21 days of praying and fasting. And I want to encourage you to be sure you get over here. There is something very energizing about anointed praise and worship and preaching, along with the excitement and encouragement of the brothers and sisters in Christ. It's really exciting. I thought this would make the fast more difficult if I had services every night. I kind of dreaded doing it, but in actuality, it has made things easier because we come together and support each other and encourage each other, and I look forward to the services every night. These services are like the early church worship and fasting at Antioch and the sacred assembly that Joel called, that was called by God in Joel. What we are doing is basically a sacred assembly to seek God about prayer and fasting. And I want to encourage every one of you to get signed up and do the fast that God has called you to do. Get one of those cards and fill that thing out and become a part of that. Drop that in the bucket when you leave. And don't just automatically default to a Daniel's fast. Ask God what he wants you to do. And every year I ask God, what do you want me to do? And it's the same thing. I want you to do what you did last year. That's been going on now for years. You see, hear and obey and do what the Lord says.